they quote. And that is, thank God for all the people that He's placed in your path to be fathers to you. I got a bunch of fathers. You know, I've got my heavenly father. I've got my earthly father. I talked to him this morning. And I also, a lot of y'all guys, I've treated y'all like fathers because y'all been fathers to me. I lead by y'all's example. Y'all guys have taught me a lot. I like to watch y'all guys work and see how y'all handle it. Because some of y'all guys have kept me from doing some stupid things. And then sometimes I followed you and did some stupid things. Just playing. Just playing. I didn't do anything. As long as I was following y'all's example, I weren't stupid. I thought I'd just see if y'all were still awake. Amen. How many know that real men, how many real men is in here? Okay, real men. Y'all, three of us. Come on, guys. Wives, tell your husband they're real men. Okay, I'm going to tell you something right now about real men. Did you know that real men are happier than fake men? Or men that are hiding, so to speak. Okay, watch this. I wrote this down, and I want y'all to see. Y'all ready? Okay. Real men are happier. Top 10 reasons. Ready? Top 10. Men can wear shorts no matter what their legs look like. All right. Number 9. Men have one wallet, one pair of shoes, which are good for every season. Amen. There you go. There, y'all waking up now. See, this stuff is so real. It's real. Okay. Number 8. Men can choose whether or not to grow a mustache. Yeah, Doug got Duck in shape before he comes to church and sneezes, and all of a sudden he's got a beard down to here. Duck Dynasty would love to have you in their dynasty. Amen. Where are we at? Number 7? Weddings take care of themselves. For all y'all that did not know, Linda kept saying, we got to work on the wedding. So 2 days before the wedding, I went to Woogie's and got a special room. She said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to work on the wedding. She said, 2 days before the wedding? I said, that's plenty of time. Matter of fact, that's more than enough time. Amen. She didn't think so. All right, number 6. Men only have to shave their faces and their necks and their backs. Okay, y'all guys, I'm losing you. Look, real men, well, the reason they're happier is because they can do their Christmas shopping for 25 relatives on Christmas Eve in 25 minutes. All right, number 4. Men don't have to stop and think. Oh, I got it backwards here. Let's see. Yeah. My wife made me change that one. And men don't have to stop and think. Y'all, I'm going to tell you what I was going to say. Men don't have to stop and think which way to turn a screw. And my wife said, that's offensive, so I took that out. Okay. So, men can do their nails during one traffic light. All right. Y'all, I'm losing you. I'm telling you, I'm losing you. Number 3, men have one mood all the time. Okay, well, most of the time. Okay, maybe not. You know, ladies, I'm going to tell you, this is the honest truth. You know, women do go through menopause, and we think, well, doesn't guys do too? But they're called MMS. It's called male mood swings. And so guys do the same thing. They just do it in a different way. And so fellas don't think we got out of that with the menopause thing because we got male mood swings, okay? Did you get that? All right. I got it. All right. A wedding dress costs $5,000. A tuxedo rental costs $100. Okay, number 1 reason why real men are happier. A man can open all their own jars. I can't tell you how to get jars handy. Or I could be in Walmart. So I will, you know, can you open that jar for me? Yeah. Also, if you're tall, if you're no matter where you go, people always want you to reach up on the shelf. The funniest thing I used to do, every now and then I would go to Target and wear a red shirt. And I'd walk down the hall, walk down the aisle, and somebody stopped me and said, "Sir, can you tell me where such and such is at?" And I go, "I don't know and I don't care." And they said, "You don't work here?" I said, "No, I don't work. I just got a red shirt on." And I'd tell them what was going on. All right. So now we're going to do Father's Day. We're going to do this. Acrostics. Acrostics and acronyms, they're so powerful because they actually can take a word and it can explode it. It can express it. It can take it and bring out the beauty of words. You know, the English language actually is a very beautiful language. Any kind of language is a beautiful language, but to us, because we're raised on the English language, it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. But sometimes, even though we have words, sometimes words can't express, like DC said. DC said, we're gonna watch this last song. He said, this is for Father's Day because our Father gives us breath. Without our earthly Father and our heavenly Father, we wouldn't have any breath and wouldn't be able to walk and carry on. So again, I'm going to break down Father. But, you know, we'll talk about fathers to start with. Here we go. Never, ever underestimate your power. You know, I hear people all the time that because of life and because of situations, fathers will think that they're really not even noticed. And a lot of times, because it's like this. Have you ever worked in a place or did something, as long as you were doing good, nobody noticed? But as soon as you messed up, they were on you. Okay? Well, the same way, fathers, as long as you're doing a good job, a lot of times we're not even noticed. You know, and because we don't have the same lovey-dovey that a mother has, and we're not necessarily, because remember, in the Bible, if you look, and I'll talk about it later, the father or the wife and the husband actually are the perfect example of God on earth. We'll talk about that in a minute. So sometimes we just don't even get credit for what we do. Amen? So let's just go ahead, and I'm going to talk a little bit. We're called, now watch this now, we're called to be a man. Remember me telling you about the time I went, Bethany was dying. Bethany was up in the cancer center. She was dying. She only lived a little while after this, like weeks after this, but she was in bad shape. And Bethany said, "Dad, it's time for you to go to PCDC." And I said, "I'm not going tonight, girl. You need me here more than I need to be there." And she said, "Dad," she said, "you need to be at PCDC." I said, "No, I don't. I'm here where I need to be." And she said, "Dad, get in your car and go to PCDC." She said, "Those guys need you there tonight." And she said, "Go." I said, "But what if you need me?" She says, "It'll be okay." And then she do her famous little last words, "Don't let me down, Dad. Go take care of them." And I went in, the very first place I went into was the Juvies. And when I went into the Juvies, they were cussing me like you would not believe. They were cussing. They were carrying on. I couldn't even talk because they were cussing and carrying on. And each one was trying to look like they were big and bad to the other guys. And finally, I just said, "Stop. Stop. Just stop." So the guys stopped. And I said, "How long has it been since a real man said he loved you?" And then right to start with, they were kind of being kind of funny about it. I said, "I'm not talking about the kind of love that's mushy love. I'm not even talking about the kind of love that'll slap you up beside the head. I'm talking about the kind of love that'll carry a cross up a hill in your place." Everybody got quiet. I said, "Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm here tonight because I love you." And I said, "It's real love, a real man with real love." And all of a sudden, I saw these guys start putting their head down. And I started seeing tears flow. I said, "I love you." I said, "Now, how long has it been since a real man told you he loved you?" And they were doing like this. And I said, "Well, how long has it been since a real man told you he believed in you?" And again, they held their head down and cried. And I said, "I believe in you so much that I left my dying daughter at the cancer center to come be here tonight at her urging." And you know what? It wound up being the best night. I think we had like 30 converts that night, or reclaimed and converts that night in the Juvies because of that night. Because you know what? I refused. I knew that I was a real man. And I knew that I was there for a reason. Also a leader. We're called to get out front. We're called to get out front and make a difference. Don't be afraid. Look, so you mess up. I've messed up many times. Anybody here ever not messed up? If you've never messed up, raise your hand. If you raise your hand, you just messed up. Amen? Real men are real men, they're leaders, and they look. It's not that a real leader is not afraid to say, I messed up. A real leader can mess up and still not feel inferior because he messed up. And also, we're a difference maker. When we come into people's lives, we make a difference. And there's a lot of homes today. And if you go to B5, the majority of guys in B5, matter of fact, all but one in 3 years. All but one. Y'all say one. All but one. There's been several hundred go through there. All but one in 3 years. Only one said, I had a good home life and I had a strong father. Only one. Can I say that enough? Only one. The rest of them said, my dad either used me to pimp his drugs for him, or my dad just beat me and mama all the time, or my dad just laid around, or I never even saw my dad. Okay, so if you got a good dad, he's around here. He don't have to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. Amen? Love on him and thank him for what he's done, because he is a difference maker. So now, it's not a mistake that you're a dad. Look at somebody and say, look, tell somebody beside you, it's not a mistake that you're a dad. Amen? So now watch this. I want you to listen, watch this. If you look at fatherhood I want to look at it in a different perspective, in a different way today. Watch this now. Your children are part of your divine assignment. Did you know that? Your children are part of your divine assignment, good, bad, or ugly. Whether you did it right, whether you did it wrong, you have your good points, you have your bad points. Your children are your divine assignment. So now watch this. You're to provide genuine, fatherly, spiritual, emotional, and physical encouragement. You're here to show the children. You know, I applaud our church because we have a lot of men. But you know what? There's been times when I first started preaching that, you know what church is filled with? The women. Men didn't show up. Men didn't think it was spiritual enough. I go to houses and I go, well, you know, your son's having a problem or your daughter. I said, it'd really help if we got Christ involved in this. They said, well, talk to my wife. Really? Really? Talk to my wife? If you want to see God do something in your family, you better let me talking to you, because you are the priest of your home. Did you know that? Good, bad, or ugly, we are the priest of our homes. Amen. We don't have to walk around with a hat on and our breastplate on and walk around swinging an altar of incense. Just being there, we are the spiritual leaders, the head, and the head of our house does not mean that you call all the shots and everybody bows down to you. Being the head of the home means I assume responsibility for this house. Wow. Wow. Doesn't mean I call all the shots and I'm the big dog and everybody bows down when the big dog barks. No, it means that I accept the responsibility of my home. So spiritual, emotional. You know what? My boys know what it's like to see me cry. You know, that we've cried together, we've played together, we've loved together. You know, physically out fishing with them. When we lived in Benson, we were fishing. If we weren't fishing, we were playing music all the time or playing ball. Why? You say, well, how's that being the priest of your home? You're taking responsibility for your house. And your children need that. Okay? So now, watch this. It's time to check ourselves. And I'm not here to beat us up at all. Please, it's not here to beat us up. This is not beat up time. You know, fathers and mothers, they use the beat up time about how bad a father or how bad a mother you are. Nope. No beat ups. I actually was going to go to Revelation and get it, but I said, no, this just painted such a beautiful picture, especially in this day and time that we live. Because in this day and time we live, it's hard to even, you know, to keep it between the lines. The lines keep shifting. I've never seen a time that we live in like today. The lines keep shifting back and forth, back and forth. And by next year, if we don't, husbands, fathers, if we don't stand up by this year next time, me up here talking from the Bible will be a crime. That'll never happen, really. It's coming. It's already coming. They're already trying to censor what we say and how we say it. And in some countries right now, preachers just for preaching the word, just preaching the word, are going to prison. So I'm telling you, the time that we live in is crazy. So fathers, it's up to us, not the mothers, not the kids. It's up to us to be that example. Now, here's the unanswered questions to a father. These are unanswered, okay? Your kid, number one, needs acceptance. Can I be myself around you, Dad? Number two, affection. Do you really love me, Dad? Affirmation. I'm proud of you, son. Are you proud of me, Dad? I tell my sons all the time I'm proud of them. I tell them I love them. Just this morning, I told them, I said, I can't tell you how much I love you and how proud I am of you. And that you are awesome, have developed into an awesome man of God. And I know that God's letting your mother see this. I believe with all my heart. Okay? Attention. Are you watching me? And then approval. Did I do a good job? Am I a smart kid? They are the questions our kids are asking us. Oh, they may not ask them out loud. They may not even ask them where you think, I've never even had them ask me this stuff. Really? They ask you. Sometimes they don't ask you physically out of their mouth, but they ask you by their actions. And sometimes when they're acting out, the reason they're acting out is because they don't think you love them. Or they don't think they can be themselves around you. And sometimes they're pushing the limits, not to drive you crazy, but to drive you to them. Did you hear that? Listen carefully. Many times your kids push you to the limits, not to drive you from them, but to drive you to them. And so if you practice this, you ain't got to do it every waking hour, say all this, but if you can practice getting these right here, acceptance, affection, affirmation, attention, and approval, and do this on a consistent basis with your kids, life as you know it will change. That's not a promise from me. That's a promise from God, because God expects us to do this for our kids. So now we start looking at, again, remember talking about claim your destiny. Descriptions of our Heavenly Father. I'm going to use the descriptions of our Heavenly Father and His care for His children. And this is going to be the path of the earthly father. Remember, man and wife on earth, man and wife is the picture, the perfect picture of God in heaven. Because the Father, He's the one that takes care of business. He's the one that keeps things going in the right direction. He's the one that protects and defends. But the Holy Spirit is the one that comes along beside, loves, comforts, and trains. And so there it is. The Father, us, the Holy Spirit, the wife. Here we are. And across, then the fruit, our fruit, Jesus on earth was the fruit of the Father above. Okay, so now with that in mind, let's watch this. Ready? We're gonna do this acronym. Okay. Deuteronomy 20 and 4. Okay. We got Father spelled out here, and the first thing about Father is He's a fighter. Deuteronomy 24 says, "For the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." Now remember this now. God fights for us, and God fights with us. See, talking about presence. You can't fight for your children if you're never around them. If you never get involved in their life, you can't fight for them. So, presence and its power, because there's something about a dad. Just something about a dad. You know, my mama, bless her heart, she would get up and she would say, "Cricket!" Remember, that's my nickname, Cricket? And she'd go, "Cricket!" And she'd get upset. Every now and then she'd get upset with me, because every now and then, just I'd be mischievous. Every now and then. And then she'd get upset sometimes, and she'd get the belt out and she'd try to whip me, and I'd laugh and I go, "Oop," she'd beat me again. I go, and she'd go, "What are you doing? Are you laughing?" I go, "No, Mama, I'm all choked up." But when Daddy did it, It didn't take but a couple times for Daddy and all Daddy to say, son, stop it. Now. And then, watch this. If phase one didn't work, he'd go. Matter of fact, when I come along, I did have ADHD, but I didn't have Adderall. I had leather. Okay. So power and protection. I knew if I get around my father, he would protect me. Let me tell you what this does. I don't have it written up here, but I want you, if you're taking notes, please write this down. When the father protects his children, listen carefully. When a father protects his children, he gives them something that nobody else on earth can do. What is that? He gives them security. This is a security that nobody else on earth can give. Only the father. Not the mother. Not anybody. The father is the only one that can give this type of security. Number two. Ready? Attentive. Are not five sparrows sold for two small coins, yet not one of them has escaped the notice of God? Even the hairs of your head have all been counted. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Luke 12, 6 and 7. You know, God is watching us. Not only is he watching us, he knows how much we're worth. So he's watching. He's been, you know, God has been to every sparrow's funeral. Every sparrow's funeral. And our children need to know that we're paying attention to them. And when they know that we're paying, how do you know if we're paying attention? Well, one way is you can repeat back what they say. Or you can actually do something novel and get involved in their life. You know, a lot of times, it just, you know, I remember when I was not going to go into full-time ministry. It was not time for it yet, I didn't think. DC was a Cub Scout. And DC had this project to do for Cub Scouts. In DC, I was working at Procter & Gamble, working swing shift. I was working 5 and 6 and sometimes 7 days, working swing shift. They just got through telling me I was going to have to work 7 days, period. It didn't matter. They knew I was a pastor, but they were still going to, I had to work 7 days because of my skill level. And I said, okay. And I didn't like it, but things were getting heated up with all always there. And the church was growing. And if I weren't at the house or resting, I was at work or I was at church. And DC kept coming up, and I'd always been there cutting up with my boys and doing what they needed. But this project, DC said, Daddy, when are you going to help with this project? And I said, I'm going to help you, son. Just give me time. I got to go to work, or give me time because I got to go take care of this at the church. And finally, it was at Christmas time. My brother Gary had come to visit at Christmas time. And I actually had a couple of days off. So I walked over to DC and I said, DC, give me that project. We can work on it now. I said, that's okay, Dad. Uncle Gary's here. He'll help me. He said, you go pray for somebody or go work on something. That little fella, which had never been little, but that fella, he couldn't have done any more for you to come up behind me with a baseball bat and pop me right in the mouth. And at that time, I said, okay, I got to make a decision, one or the other, because they've got to be involved. And that's what we did. So watch. When a person feels, listen carefully, when a child feels like you're being attentive to them, here's two things that happen. Number one, believe it or not, you ain't got to walk behind them and just keep pumping sunshine up. They're just being attentive to them. Watch what happens. You build their self-esteem. Just being attentive. You build their self-esteem, and you help them develop their personhood. Very, very important. The next word. Get ready. Time. Wow. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And this is really powerful, because that word leave means to leave physically. And forsake means to actually leave you emotionally. Okay? So again, attentive helps them have self-esteem and helps them have personhood. But when you give them time, watch this now. There's a difference in attentive and time. Attentive is your listening. Time is when you put it into action. So watch this. So yes, you give them self-esteem, personhood, but when you give them time, Now you solidify their identity and you help their personality because your kids act that the way you act. Did you know that? When we first got Bethany, and she didn't have, everything she owned was in a trash bag. Everything was in one trash bag. And everything she had was either too small, too big, or torn to pieces. The social services gave her a bike, and I kid you not, it made me so angry. They gave her a bike, and the bike, one of the wheels did not even have rubber on. It was just the wheel itself without the rubber around it. And it had one foot pedal. That's the bike they gave her. And the coat she had in the middle of winter was just a raincoat that had flannel on the inside. Man, oh man, I told Beverly the first time we met her, I said, you know what? No matter what, whether we get her or not, she can, you know one thing, she's going to have a coat in a matter of days. And when she comes, starts staying with us, she got a bike, a good bike. You see, again, as we started spending time with her, and she started developing, wow, it was a very powerful, powerful thing to watch her personality develop. Because here's what she did. We had a birthday party. She turned 5. We had a birthday party. She got all these dolls. She had never had dolls. She had all these dolls, and they were in her room one day, and I kept hearing this noise. I said, what is this noise that I'm hearing? I go in her room, and she's got her dolls lined around the room. And she's slapping them, and she's fussing at them, and she's kicking them. What was she doing? She was following the example that she had been taught. And it took us months to get her to love on her dolls and not beat on her dolls. So I'm telling you, it's really important that you spend time with your kids because you really help develop their personality. And so now here we go. Let's get the next one here. Help. Father, help. Call me teacher. Excuse me. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble in dread before them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. Deuteronomy 31:6. Also, Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and our strength, and he's a very present help in trouble. Our children need to know they can go to us with anything. Anything. And we need to be able to help them and do for them. And watch this. When we do that, you know what we give them? Believe it or not, if we do it properly, we give them power. We give them power because under their personality developed, now they got this power. They know that my dad's going to be here to help me. I can step out now because if I fall, my dad's there to help me. He's our refuge and our strength. Now, y'all are awful quiet today. Very, very quiet. Example. He said, you call me teacher? Lord, you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. John 13:13. You know what? By living an example before your kids, look, never forget where you come from. There's times, like I said, I keep remembering that time with DC. Every now and then, I'll go back to that Christmas, and I'll hear DC tell me, never mind, Daddy, Uncle Gary will help me. You go pray for somebody. You go work on something. Wow. That was when he was probably 6 years old. And now he's almost 40. I'm 61, soon be 62, and that rings in my ears still, knowing that I have a very powerful responsibility. Never forget where you come from and treat others the way you'd be treated. So that way, you know, now, not only do you give your child power, but now you've laid a path for them. When you show them an example, you lay a path for them, and they'll follow that path. Raise up a child or train a child in the way it shall go. When he gets old, he shall not depart from it. And then finally, I'm getting through. Somebody say amen. I got a word out of you that time. Restore. Restoration. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 23 and 3. You were called, listen to this, you were called to restore. The word restore means bring things back upright. Okay? The Bible says, when the Bible says in Psalm 23, he restores my soul, I want you to know, I've told this so many times, some of you know exactly what I'm getting ready to tell. When a sheep will get wet and the wool was heavy, it would be off balance. If it got, not only just got off balance that way, sometimes it also eat too much and get off balance. Either way, the sheep would get off balance and the sheep would fall over and land with his feet up in the air. The sheep does not have enough strength, especially with all that wool, to turn theirself back over. A sheep will lay there on its back and cry. If the shepherd don't hear it, gases build up in the shepherd. I'm not shepherd, but gases build up in the sheep. And the sheep have an internal combustion and they die. The shepherd comes along when he hears the cry and he picks up that sheep that cannot correct itself, and he picks it back up and sets it on its feet so it can go run and play. Do you know what that's called? That's restoring the soul. He restores my soul. Wow. Daddies, we got something going on. This morning, DC sent me a text, and you know what? It was like, it just brought me back to all of this. He said, Happy Father's Day, Daddy. That was awesome, DC. That was like I'm not kidding. It was like getting $1,000 check in the mail. Well, kind of. No. It was like getting $1,000 check in the mail. Happy Father's Day, Daddy. Wow. That was awesome. I said, thank you, God. Thank you. And then Daniel, the DC, that was so amazing. And I told both of them they were good dads. And Daniel was up back and said, that's because I had a good example. Wow. I said, thank you, God. I wasn't perfect, but hopefully I did something right. Now, and so restoring, you prepare them for their later life. Preparation. When you restore them, you pick them back up and show them how to do it. So now it's time. It's time for us to claim our destiny. But so just so we can end in a light note, this has been heavy. I didn't realize how heavy it was going to be until we got going. So I put some at the end just in case it got heavy. Y'all ready? Top 10 reasons it's good to be a man. All right. Phone conversations are over in 30 seconds flat. Except for mine. Okay. Number two, a 5-day holiday or vacation requires only one suitcase. Number three, when clicking through the channels, you don't have to stall at every shot of somebody crying. Number four, guys in hockey masks don't attack you unless you're playing hockey. Number five, you only need two or three pair of shoes. Number six, car mechanics tell you the truth. Number seven, you can admire Clint Eastwood without starving yourself to death to look like him. Go ahead, make my day. Number eight, gray hair and wrinkles only add character to men. I'm glad because my hair is getting ready to start turning gray. I got a feeling. Okay. Yeah, DC and Daniel said they gave me white and Bethany gave me thin. All right. Number nine. We don't have to figure out which way. Here's the one. Okay. We don't have to figure out which way to turn the screw. Righty-tighty. Is it righty-tighty or righty-lefty? What? All right. If another guy shows up at a party in the same outfit, you just might become lifelong buddies. I'm glad I put this at the end. Number 11, the occasional well-rendered belch is practically expected. I just look over and just go, my compliments to the chef. Matter of fact, one of my favorite things to say now is if it comes up again, we'll vote on it. Or that's the most intelligent thing you've said all day. All right, ready? Number 12, and then we're gonna stand and pray. We get to be dads. Amen. Everybody stand. God is so awesome. Y'all come play something. God is so, so awesome. All the time, God is awesome. Remember, God has called you to be a fighter, to be attentive, to give your children time, be help to them, be an example to them, and help restore them. Doesn't mean you're perfect. I don't know but one perfect father, and he's in heaven. That's the only perfect father. I know of a bunch of imperfect fathers, and I'm leading the pack. God is so good. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First thing I'm going to ask is really to the fathers. I sure hope today was not a beat down, because it wasn't a beat down. It was supposed to be a lift up and a time of adjustment. Just in case you need to do some PMs. But to the dads out there, we all know how hard it is to do a job, working a hard job, working many hours, trying to minister for Christ, and trying to be the priest of your home. And for the fathers right now, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hands. Just raise your hands. No beat down, no questions, except for this. Will you please just raise your hands, all the fathers. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, help these men know. Help them to realize how important they are to you, to your kingdom, and to their home. A lot of times I know, Lord, that they never even get a thank you. They never get celebrated, but they just keep on doing it. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, let these men feel that their life is never and will never be in vain. And although they might not have been perfect as a father, none of us are, only you, God. But I thank you, Lord, for touching these men. Lift them up. Strengthen them. Encourage them. And let them know that they're not fathers by accident. They're not examples by accident. It is a very hard job. But God, you really appreciate what they do. I ask you right now to bless them, to anoint them. And Lord, if there's any kind of guilt feeling within them, Lord, let them just lay it at the altar and leave it there, because there's nothing that you can't take care of, because you're our perfect Heavenly Father. I ask you right now, Lord, not only strengthen them and encourage them, but let them know that your hand is upon them. And the power is always available if they'll just reach up, ask for it in faith, and trust you. I thank you for that, for these fathers, in the name of Jesus. Now here's my next thing. If you're here today and you're with your father or with your husband, I just want you to lay your hands on him. And if you're here and they're not, and there's somebody else here, a father that doesn't have somebody, just put your hand on their hand. Put your hand on their hand. Being a daddy is a hard, hard task. We always seem to celebrate moms, but we kind of fall short when it comes to dads. Right now, we're all going to pray for all these dads. Lay your hand on their hand. If it's your husband, put your arm around him. If it's your dad, put your arm around him. Tell them that you love them. Thank them for what they've done for you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for all that you do. For all that you do. For all that you do for us, God. And I thank you for the awesome privilege to be a father. And I ask you right now, Lord, to minister and help us continue to be what you'd have us to be. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. And the church said, amen. All right. Tuesday night, we're trying to get through the 101% principle. We finally got through just a little bit. I know, I thought that we were going to get through it. We're just going to just close our eyes and do it. Or either duct tape everybody and just duct tape us and put on blinders and I just read it to you. Now, I really love it when we talk. It's great when we talk. If you don't talk, you got to talk. Amen? It's wonderful. I've had more fun in the last couple of weeks with this 101% principle. Although we've only hit the outline one time in 4 weeks, I still enjoyed it. Amen. Are you glad to be in the house of God? Fellas, are you glad to be fathers?
Father God, we just praise you and thank you for being with us each and every day. The problems we face as fathers, Lord, we just thank you for the example that you give in our spirit. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for the children that we have and the blessings that they've blessed us with. And Lord, we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.